Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. Today, we have John Perkins, who is the New York Times bestselling author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Now, in his newest book, which we're going to be touching a little bit in on this podcast session today, called Touching the Jaguar, Perkins tells the dramatic story of how, when, and when he was a part of the Peace Corps volunteer. Now, his life was saved by the Amazonian shaman who taught him to touch the jaguar, to change his reality by embracing perceptions that transformed fears into positive actions. Despite that experience, Perkins fell back on what business school had encouraged him to do. He became an economic hitman, convincing developing countries to build huge infrastructure projects that put them in debt to the World Bank and other U.S.-controlled institutions. Although he had been taught that this was the best model for economic development, Perkins came to see that this was simply a new form of colonialism. So with that as the precedent that we set today, John, I just want to start this podcast off, before we get into everything, just to say a big thank you for being with me here today.
Well, you're welcome, Avery. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for all you do with the show. I really appreciate your work.
Thank you. And I'm curious to see, to get into a little bit about what was just said there, because you talk about colonialism, you talk about new forms of it, and you talk about how someone, an Amazonian shaman, changed your life and taught you how to touch the jaguar. So let's segue into the first question with that in mind. And the first question is kind of just to expand a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor in the world today.
Well, yes, if we go back to that story, I was a Peace Corps volunteer in the late 60s, early 70s in the Amazon forest, living with the Shuar people in their territory. I got very, very ill at one point. I couldn't even stand up. And I certainly couldn't walk through dense jungle to the nearest road, a long, long walk, and then a two-day ride in a rickety old bus, if I could find one, to get to the nearest medical facility. No way I could do it. So I was resigned to dying. And the shaman one night saved my life. Basically, he took me on a vision quest, or what you might call a shamanic journey. And on that journey, I saw that every time I was eating the strange foods that the Shua eat, they were strange to me, and drinking, that they do drink a kind of beer called chicha. And they don't drink water out of the rivers because they know the rivers have organic matter and it's dangerous. So the women chew manioc root and spit it. It sets up a fermentation process, creates this chicha beer that they then can mix water with. So that's what you drink. And you have to drink a lot of it because you've got to rehydrate a lot in the jungle. But I saw in the shamanic journey that every time I drank this spit beer or ate these unusual foods to me, I'd hear a voice like my mother saying, "Son, it'll kill you." I also saw how incredibly healthy the Shuar were. They're very, very healthy, robust people. And so that one night I saw that it wasn't the food and drink that was killing me, it was my perception. It was my mindset. And I the next morning I felt great. The shaman then required him his apprentice. And I had no desire to do that. I didn't even know what a shaman was until I had this experience. I graduated from business school. There was no future in shamanism in those days. There is now, but there wasn't then. But he'd saved my life. So I became his apprentice. And what I learned from him and over the years since from shamans that I've studied with in other places like Indonesia and Iran and Egypt and other places in Latin and in the Americas, that they believe that our perceptions mold our reality. You know, and in other words, we all know, like, you're in Canada, but there is no Canada. There's no United States. There's no culture, there's no religion, there's no economy, there's no corporations except as people perceive them. And when enough people accept a perception or codify it into law, it has a huge impact on reality. Now that's shaman, but it's also modern psychotherapy. It's quantum physics, it's advertising, it's marketing, it's our world. We know that we create reality through perceptual changes. It was a very, very important learning for me. And later I became a chief economist at a consulting firm. I did what I've been trained to do in business school, as you just pointed out. And again, I used perception. to give leaders of countries the perception that if they accepted huge loans from our corporations to build big infrastructure project in their countries, that people would be better off. It was a false perception. Only the very wealthy people became better off. We can go into that in more detail if you want. But again, it was using perception to create a reality. And after 10 years, I dropped out of that and I spent the rest of my life trying to turn around what I and other economists consider to be a death economy, a global governmental social economic system that's failing us, that's consuming itself into extinction, that's really killing itself, and a lot of other things along with it, including now through the coronavirus, and transforming that into a life economy. And all it really takes is a change of perception, from the perception that the goal of business is to maximize short-term profits, regardless of the social and environmental costs, to a new perception that it's the business, and of all of us, to create long-term benefits for all people and all nature. It's a perceptual change, and it goes back to that shamanic training.
Yeah, I imagine that was an entirely life-changing moment. I mean, you've referenced it is, but not only do you talk about how life-changing it was, but it changed the trajectory of your life in many ways, it sounds like.
Yeah, it totally did, Avery. And actually, you know, I sort of dropped back into my old life of business school for 10 years after that, though this stayed with me. And so it really took a while. And after that, you know, again, that ended in 1980. Since then, I've spent the rest of my life really looking at this impact that perception has on reality and how we use that to move us into a more sane world.
So let's pick apart what you just said there a bit. You said move into a sane world. You talk about, you know, the creation and perception of everything that we create, you know, non-organic things like the economy and you know, stock market, let's say. But I want to know how what you're doing, how is it building a positive impact in the world? How is it doing it?
Well, because I, you know, it's pretty apparent to anybody that thinks about it that we're the pilots of a space station, a living Earth, and we're really driving the space station toward disaster. We need to reboot the navigation system. We need to, you know, we need to change the trajectory that we're piloting ourselves on, and our whole navigation system functions around this idea that we need to maximize short-term stuff, short-term gains, short-term profits for corporations, short-term material consumption for individuals, and so on and so forth, and look at the long-term. And you know that so if I go back to that time in the Amazon on this vision quest, what happened was in the middle of this vision quest, the shaman says to me, touch the jaguar. And I looked all around like, oh my God, there's a jaguar. Where's the jaguar? And then suddenly I saw it in this vision quest. And the jaguar was this voice, like my mother, somebody saying, it'll kill you. The food and drink will kill you. So I went out and I touched it. And when that happened, that's when I saw that the people I was living with, the Shwa people, were very, very healthy. The food and drink was not killing them. And really what it was, it's organic and local. It's everything that we strive for today. So this idea of touching the jaguar is, and the subtitle to the book, Touching the Jaguar, is transforming fear into action to change your life and the world. And what happens when we touch our fears, when we run from them, they chase us. When we touch them, they give us the energy, the creativity, the wisdom to change, to move forward and to change. And we're at this time in history now where we realize that we really must change, but we're fearful of change. Change is a scary thing to most humans. And so we try to avoid touching it, but now we know we need to touch it. And in fact, the coronavirus is a very big jaguar that's reaching out to us.
So let's talk about, I love this. Let's talk about the jaguar, you know, touching the jaguar in the room. I really like that. But I want to flip the script a little bit and focus on business now, right? You're going to come from two very dramatically different lenses, but important lenses. One is, you know, traditional business because you went to school for it and worked in it for a bit. The other one is this concept of, you know, touching your fears or really touching the jaguar, right? But the question I have for you then is, do you believe this idea of social impact is an important part of business today?
What's this? Yes, of course. The economy is people. I mean, that's all it is. Animals don't have economy, so to speak. Our whole economic system is a social system, really, when you come right down to it. It's all about how people relate to their environment, to each other, to the plants and the animals, to the resources. And so the social impact, the impact that we have as societies on the economy is huge. It's everything. And it's our perceptions that mold our social systems, our social interactions. It's all about our perceptions. And if you take different cultures, they often have very different perceptions. For example, most of the indigenous people, and I still spend a lot of time with them. I take groups of people to these in the Amazon and the mountains of Colombia and the Mayans of Guatemala. People can go to my website, johnperkins.org, and join a trip. We take people there, and partly it's because they see that these are very different social systems. Most indigenous people are not oriented towards self-aggrandizement or even self-benefits. That it's all about the community. You work for the community. And in fact, we all come out of that. Every one of us, comes out of an indigenous background at some point in our lives, in our histories. So our whole social network, our whole social system, our whole social ideas revolve around certain perceptions, and all of that, it molds the economy. It isn't that the economy molds our social systems, it's our social systems and our social interactions that mold our economy.
And the one important thing I think you said that really stood out for me was the economy is people. Not the economy is for people, or the economy is made by people. The economy is people.
Yes, absolutely. And so the social impacts are everything that drive the economy. Or let's say the way that our societies impact us, each other, our resources, our environment, has a total impact on the economy. It molds the economy. And of course, all of that is driven by our perceptions of what it means to have these relationships, the social relationships that we have with other people and with the rest of nature and all of the whole planet, in fact.
So I want to ask you one last question, John. And this one's going to be a little bit different than the other three, maybe more so like the first question. And it's about your advice for people listening today. So what would your advice be to start creating an impact in the world today for people who listen to this podcast? What would your advice be for them to start making their own impact in the world?
Well, ultimately, Avery, I'm glad you asked the question. Ultimately, that's what the book Touching the Jaguar is all about. It tells a lot of factual stories.
I like it. Shameless book plug.
it's a story book, but it also goes into what we need to do, and it comes down to it. Actually, a 10-minute practice will be offered people that they can do once a day or whenever. Anyway, the whole idea is to ask yourself five basic questions, and I'm just going to give a very short version here. The first question is, what is it you most want to do for the rest of your life? What is it you really want to do? What is your bliss? What is your higher purpose? And the second question is, well, in doing that, and I could say, for example, for me, it's writing. I love to write. And the second question is, how do you use that to create a life economy to make this transformation? And for a writer, for me, it's writing stories that inspire people to do that. And the third question is, what jaguars stand in your way? What are you afraid of? What holds you from doing this? At one time, I was held back from writing by an English teacher's voice that I kept hearing that said, you're a lousy writer. And then I realized that he said the same thing about Bob Dylan, who won the Nobel Prize in Literature. So you reach out and you look at that jaguar. What's standing in your way? And the fourth question is, what do you have to do to touch that jaguar? Well, you have to convince yourself, in my case, for example, that professor was just another human being who made a lot of mistakes in his life. And the fifth thing is, what actions do you take? For me as a writer, it's you got to write every day. But whether you're a carpenter, whether you're a podcast host like you are, a plumber, a parent, a teacher, whatever you are, you can apply these same questions. What do you most want to do in your life? How does that impact the larger society? What gets in your way of doing that? What do you have to do to change the perceptions around what gets in the way, and what actions do you have to take? And if you can answer those questions, and then each day set up a practice where you actually do some little thing every day. It could just be sending a text or a tweet or whatever. Or it could be something big like running to become president of Prime Minister of Canada, President of the United States. There's a whole gamut. But the important thing is to take some action every day that makes you feel good about yourself and what you're doing.
It's the little things every single day. That's what really makes it.
The little things, and they can be big things. It's little big, and to realize that the little things often can turn out to be very big. I have a friend, a woman who used to hang her clothes out on the line to dry rather than using a dryer because she wanted to impress the neighbors that she was environmentally sensitive. But in doing that, she actually changed herself and now is a leader in a number of environmental movements, big ones.
That's awesome. So, John, before we end the podcast today, I just wanted to do one last thing. And I know that Touching the Jaguar is being released soon, and I know people can pre-order it, but it talks about, you know, this dramatic story of embracing perceptions and transforming fears and changing your life and Amazonian shamans. Where can people find more information about this, and where, if they're interested, can they get the book, Touching the Jaguar?
Well, they can information on my website, johnperkins.org, and they can order the book through any form there. You know, you can get it from your local bookstore. You can get it from Amazon or Indie-bound books or wherever you normally would buy books. Order it online today with the coronavirus from your local bookstore or any of these places. And a lot of those are listed on johnperkins.org. There's a lot more information there. And if people pre-order, they also become part of a wonderful Facebook group that we have. We're doing a big meeting tomorrow where I'm actually going to take people on a shamanic journey.
Perfect. And John, I just wanted to say again, like I said in the beginning, thank you for being with me here today.
My pleasure, Avery. And again, thank you for doing what you're doing. It's so important that we keep getting this message out there. I honor you for doing this. Thank you.